श्री श्री राधाकृष्ण गोप बहुजा श्याम श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय नवोदत धाम की जय गंग यमुन तुलसी भक्ति की जय राधा गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द लॉर्ड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू सम ऑफ द डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु श्री गुरु ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 नमः शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रसादगुणदेवी भगवान् स्वामी नमने नमस्ते सारस्वतदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष निवारी पाशाप्रदेशने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निजानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गुरु भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे
हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री कृष्ण बाबू जी आपको चैप्टर 13 श्री तथा
तथा स्व
स्व
भागदेयानि भागदेयानि
रचिष्यन्ति
विनिष्यन्ति
दिवौकसः
दिवौकसः
यज्ञ
यज्ञ
पुरुष
पुरुषा
साक्षात्
साक्षात्
अपत्याय
अपत्याय
हरिर्
हरिः
वृतः
वृतः
तथा स्वभागधेयानि
तथा स्वभागधेयानि
ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः
ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः
यज्ञपुरुष साक्षात्
यज्ञपुरुष साक्षात्
अपत्याय
अपत्याय हरिवृतः ग्रहिष्यन्ति दिवौकसः यद्यज्ञपुरुषः साक्षात् अपत्याय हरिवृतः तदा स्वभागधेयानि ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः यद्यज्ञपुरुषः साक्षात् अपत्याय हरिर्वृतः तदा स्वभागधेयानि ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः यद्यज्ञपुरुषः साक्षात् अपत्याय हरिर्वृतः सदाग्रेयाणि ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः यद्यज्ञं पुरुषः साक्षात् अपत्याय हरिर्वृतः तदा स्वभागधेयानि ग्रहीष्यन्ति दिवौकसः यद्यज्ञपुरुषः साक्षात् अपत्याय हरिर्वृतः
तथा
तथा
thereupon
thereupon
स्वभागधेयानि
स्वभागधेयानि
share of the sacrifice
share of the sacrifice
ग्रहीष्यन्ति
ग्रहीष्यन्ति
will accept
will accept
दिवौकसः
दिवौकसः
all the demigods
all the demigods
yajna
yajnapurusha yajnapurusha
enjoy our all sacrifices
enjoy our all sacrifices
sakshat
sakshat
directly
directly
apatyaya
apatyaya
for the purpose of a son
for the purpose of a son
hari
hari
supreme personality of godhead
supreme personality of godhead
vrita
vrita
is invited
he is invited
Translation, when Hari, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, is invited to fulfill your desire for his son, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice. Therefore, whenever sacrifice is performed, it's meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu, the enjoyer of all fruits of sacrifice, and when Lord Vishnu agrees to come to a sacrificial ring, all the demigods actually follow their master, and their shares offered in such sacrifices. Conclusion of the sacrifice of the format for Lord Vishnu offers demigods. The performer of the sacrifices and the karma and their activities achieves the fulfillment of the desire for which he worships the Lord. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says he awards benedictions to the worshipper according to his desire. The Supreme Personality of Godhead gives all living entities conditioned within the material world full freedom to act in their own way. But to his devotees, he says that instead of working in that way, it's better to surrender unto him, for he will take charge of the devotee. That is the difference between a devotee and a fruitive actor. A fruitive actor enjoys only the fruits of his own activities, but a devotee, being under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, simply advances devotional service to achieve the ultimate goal of life, going back to Godhead. The significant word in this verse is kaman, which means sense gratificatory desires. A devotee is devoid of all kaman. He is an abhilashita shunya. A devotee is always devoid of all desires for sense gratification. His only aim is to satisfy or gratify the senses of the Lord. That is the difference between a karmi and a devotee. Thus, for the sake of a son for King Anga, they decided to offer oblations to Lord Vishnu, who is situated in the hearts of all living entities. Therefore, according to sacrificial rituals, animals are sometimes sacrificed in the yagya arena. Such animals are sacrificed not to kill them, but to give them new life. Such action was an experiment to observe whether the Vedic mantras is properly pronounced. Sometimes small animals are killed in the medical laboratory to investigate therapeutic effects. In a medical clinic, animals are not revived, but in the yogi arena, when animals were sacrificed, they were again given life by the potency of Vedic mantras. The word Shippi Vistaya appears in this verse. Shippi means the flames of the sacrifice. In the sacrificial fire, if the oblations are offered into the flames, then Lord Vishnu is situated there in the form of the flames. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is known as Shippi Vishta. As soon as the oblation was offered in the fire, a person appeared from the fire altar, wearing a golden gown and white dress. He was carrying a golden pot filled with rice, boiled in milk. When Hari, the supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices, invited to fulfill your desire for a son, all the demigods will come with him and take their shares in the sacrifice. So, the immediate problem was that devotees did not come to the sacrifice. And then the priest said, well, you don't have a son because you did sinful activities in previous lifetimes. You should have a son. And to get the son, we will call the Supreme Lord. And when the Supreme Lord comes, then all the devotees will come with them. So this way the devotees will participate in the sacrifice. So the understanding here is that though the devotees are worshipped and offered things in the sacrifice, the principal person is the Supreme Lord. And without him, the sacrifice is never complete. If we worship the Supreme Lord and we don't worship the devatas, even then that is sufficient. But, of course, if we want to follow the rules, we should worship everyone. So therefore, the prescription in sacrifice is that you worship Vishnu and the devatas. Unfortunately, a lot of people misunderstand this and then they put Vishnu on the level of the devatas. However, if they omit Vishnu, then there is a problem. So this indicates that Vishnu is separate from the devatas. He's in another category. So everything depends upon Vishnu. And he can never be separated from the sacrifice. And of course, we have verses in Bhagavad Gita, Lata Bhaktaram, Yagya Tapasam that indicate the Supreme Lord is the actual enjoyer of sacrifices and the Lord of sacrifices. So even though the devatas are worshipped and sacrificed, we should not misunderstand that. In this way, even those who are not great devotees of Vishnu and would prefer to worship devatas, if they follow the injunctions of the scripture, they get benefit because they have to worship Vishnu. So they may be attracted to Indra or Shiva or someone else and they do sacrifices, but they also have to worship Vishnu. So this is beneficial for them. Included in their worship is worship of Vishnu. We also see what is called the Panchapasana of the Smartas, where they worship five entities, Vishnu, Ganesh, and Surya, and Durga Devi, and Shiva. So Vishnu is one of those, so he's included. Unfortunately, what they do is they put Vishnu on the level of everybody else, and he's just one of the devatas. This is the problem. So, in that case, and in the sacrifice also,
we should not make this mistake and think the Supreme Lord is equivalent of the Devatas because he is worshipped along with them. But it is a strategy to gradually get people accustomed to the worship of Vishnu. And if they become more advanced, then they will understand that Vishnu is actually the object of the sacrifice anyway. So the question will come, why not just worship Vishnu? Why they have all these other devatas mentioned in the scriptures? Why not just say worship Vishnu? So one reason is, of course, devatas are there also. They're there. It's not their imaginary. They're there, and they give results in the material world. For the different living entities, material results. So it is a fact they are there. But of course, their results are ultimately dependent upon the Supreme Lord. So if we don't also worship the Supreme Lord, then he will not get the results. So the alternative is to worship Vishnu and get all your material desires fulfilled through him. This actually is recommended in Bhagavatam, in the second canto. Akama Savakama Va. If you have all desires, still you should worship the Supreme Lord. If you have no desires, yes, no material desires, worship the Supreme Lord. It's for bhakti. But if you have all material desires, still you should worship the Lord. And try to fulfill all your material desires by worshiping the Supreme Lord. So this is the alternative to worshiping all the devatas. However, we also see that in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, well, the devatas give quick results. So many people will be inclined to worship devatas because they get an immediate result. These are direct, and the devatas are the direct persons giving the particular item. So worship the devata, get a result like that. So if you worship Vishnu, of course, that includes everything. He's like watering the root of the tree. But it may take a little longer to get the result, just as it takes a little while to get the fruit when we water the root. Tree comes up and then we get fruit and leaves and all this, but it takes a little time. So people worship devatas and they get quick results, and therefore that is why they do a lot of that worship. So in the Vedas, all of this is there to satisfy people who do have material desires. The people in Rajaguna and Tamaguna do not have that much patience to steadily do worship. So they get quick results from worshipping devatas, but they have to also include Vishnu worship there. And then we get a good result. So that is why the Karma Kanda section is there, or Karma Yoga, in which people worship the devatas predominantly. But that doesn't mean they reject Vishnu. They cannot reject Vishnu. And when they worship, they should also understand he is superior. If they don't think he's superior, they think he's equal to the devatas, then it's aparadha. And this again gives no result for the sacrifice. So they actually do have to have the philosophical understanding that Vishnu is superior to the devatas and knows karma kanda. So therefore, ultimately, karma kanda is dependent upon respect for Vishnu and no aparadhas. Then you can get your results. So in this sense, we call it Daivi Varnashram, because they do respect the Lord within that system. Why don't we call it bhakti? It's because it is a secondary process. It's not the main process. Bhakti is there because they recognize the Lord and they worship. But they predominantly worship other things, other devatas, for material results. Therefore, artha, dharma, and kama. And therefore, we don't call it bhakti, even though there is a little bhakti there. So that is this karma yoga system. So that is prevalent among the common people, and the king supports that, because not everybody is a devotee, not everybody is philosophical, not everybody is in sattva-guna, so therefore he gives this system. And therefore we see the kings are doing these sacrifices. So Anga also did this sacrifice for the Supreme Lord, directly, not for the devatas. He was directly approaching the Supreme Lord to get the son. And in the process, the devatas also came. So he recognized Vishnu as supreme. And of course, the Supreme Lord is special. He has more power than the devatas. generally the devatas are limited because they are in the material world with material bodies. They have more power than us. But it is also difficult for them to go beyond the karma of the individual. They will respect the karmas. Unless we carry out certain procedures, we cannot remove those karmas. So just worshipping them may not give us the proper result due to very serious karmas. If we worship the Supreme Lord, we know that bhakti destroys all karma. So therefore, results which are difficult for the devatas to give can come from the Supreme Lord, because bhakti destroys all the karmas, and therefore the limitations on the jiva are no longer there. So the Lord can give, and this is in terms of material results, the Lord can give you all sorts of material results that some devatas will not give because they respect the law of karma. But if the karma is destroyed, then the Lord will give those results. So in this way, bhakti will give much more. However, we also see Bhagavatam says that when the Lord really gives mercy to a person and the person worships, he may take everything away also. So instead of getting what you want, he may not give you it. And he may take what you have. In spite of karma, you got good punyas, and he may take it all away. And so that is real mercy. If he understands that your devotion is more important to you, and to nourish that devotion, he may take away material assets, which may be detrimental. So he's directly interfering or whatever in that sense to support your bhakti. So we cannot always predict what the Lord will do. For those people that are not on that level, then he will give them things. He will support them or whatever. And we see in the case of Dhruva, he did not take away, he gave. Dhruva, he renounced everything, went to the forest. And then the Lord brought him back and he gave him everything. So it's not inevitable the Lord takes everything away from devotees. No, some cases he will do that. Other devotees refuse to accept those things as being unfavorable for bhakti, so they don't want bhakti or mukti, and they refuse. But some will accept, as Dhruva accepted, because it was the will of the Lord. So we should not think that the Lord makes everybody poor. He can give one more wealth than any devata can give. He is unlimited. So in this way, the Supreme Lord has ultimate power. And so whatever devatas give, the Lord can give much more than that, in terms even of material things. So there's no limitation for the Lord. So that is why it is recommended that actually, even if you have all desires, you should worship the Supreme Lord. Now that, of course, is not the best way to worship, because it's not pure bhakti. It is karma mishra bhakti. However, because there is worship of the Lord, ultimately the result of that, even of that, is much higher than simply doing karma yoga. Because karma yoga, the Lord is worship a little bit. Whereas if you do karma mishra bhakti, and you're trying to get material results, you're worshipping the Lord all the time. So you get a better result. Not only in terms of material things, the spiritual things, because you're doing bhakti. So we get much more than spiritual results. So that is why it is said that ultimately the karma mishra bhakti, bhakta, can actually go to the spiritual world. And the gyan mishra bhakta also can go to the spiritual world. The gyan mishra bhakta can get more than the gyani, because the gyani gets liberation. So the gyan mishra bhakta should get more than that, because he's doing bhakti. So he also goes to the spiritual world. So in that sense, it is better to do karma mishra bhakti or gyan mishra bhakti than jnana or karma, because you get higher results, because the Supreme Lord is giving the results. However, that mixed bhakti is not as good as pure bhakti. So Suddha bhakti will give a much higher result than the karma mishra bhakti or the jnana mishra bhakti in the spiritual world. So in the spiritual world, of course, there is no material desire, but so therefore the gyan mishra bhakti or the karma mishra bhakti, they don't have karma or gyan anymore, but they are pure, but the relationship with the Lord is quite limited because of what they practiced. So Whereas if one does pure bhakti, then one gets a much closer relationship with the Supreme Lord. So though you can worship with all desires or no desires, ultimately the best is to worship with pure bhakti. That way we get a much higher result than the other processes give, the other mixed bhakti gives. So that is the general method that is recommended for real devotees, that is pure bhakti or uttama bhakti. And on that basis, with pure bhakti, then one can get the bhakti rasa mita sindhu, the ocean of nectar. And if you do mixed bhakti, you don't get that. Huh? You stand at the edge of the ocean. You don't get in the ocean. So that is the difference between mixed and pure bhakti. And the others don't even get that far. They may get liberation, or like the rivers in comparison to the ocean, or they may only get Svargaloka or Brahmaloka or something like that to do karma. So therefore the process of bhakti is much higher than these other processes. Yeah. No. Unmotivated. That means no material desires, or no desire for liberation. No desire for material assets, no desire for liberation. That is unmotivated bhakti. So that's called Sudha Bhakti or Uttama Bhakti. That's Sudha Bhakti. And when Sudha Bhakti perfects itself in prema, then you're qualified for Vaikuntha or Goloka or Goku or whatever. Yeah, well, not only pure, one has to have prema. You can go to mukti purity. Brahman, you have to be pure. So purity itself, just destroying karmas is not the qualification for Vaikuntha or Goloka. You have to have prema. No. No, purity simply means we get rid of material desires. Huh? So that means karmas, vasanas, subtle body, all of this ahankara, we get rid of that. But if we simply get rid of that, we can get liberation only. So we have to develop the bhakti or prema. When it turns into prema, then you're qualified for spiritual world. So that is why jnana itself is not perfect. You only get liberation. If we do bhakti, we get the liberation, we destroy the subtle body and the karmas and all that, we get the purity, but we also get prema. We develop prema in the jiva. And then we get spiritual.
How do we differentiate this mishra bhakti with yoga first? Karma yoga and karma mishra bhakti. What is the difference between this? Jnana yoga and jnana mishra bhakti.
I said that it's a matter of degrees. In jnana, it's jnana with a little bit of bhakti. In bhakti, it's bhakti with a little bit of jnana.
Yesterday, I was asking a question. Yesterday, we were talking about how Brahmana was punishing the king. Mm-hmm. And the Shastra said that women, old people, and then children are punished. But in this chapter, in this temple, Prithu Maharaj actually was punishing the Mother Earth in the form of the cow. Can you explain more on that?
Why did that?
Yeah.
Well, because she was not doing her duty. It's not that they shouldn't be punished, actually, because you punish children, parents punish children, and if the wife is bad, the husband should punish her or discipline her somehow. And so it's not that they shouldn't be punished, but obviously the punishment is a little bit different from others. But nevertheless, punishment is there in all cases. We have women criminals also. It doesn't mean you let them be criminals. In the case of Earth, of course, she also is a devotee as well. She's moving. Some expansion of Lakshmi. But anyway, she was not cooperating by giving produce for the earth for some reason or other. So therefore, that is why Prithu had to make her give the produce of the earth. Otherwise, the people cannot survive. What's that? Well, this is well. He is also Shaktivesh avatar, Prithu, so his special powers.
Grantharasya Shishimat Bhagavan ki
jai,
Jannat Bhagavanas ki
jai,
Vendrishya Shishimat Bhagavan ki
jai,
Gopurman ki jai.
Yeah, this is the
other one.